Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all that they had done and taught. Then, because so many people were coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat, he said to them, "Come with me by yourselves to a quiet place and get some rest." So they went away by themselves in a boat to a solitary place. But many who saw them leaving recognized them and ran on foot from the towns and got there ahead of them. When Jesus landed and saw a large crowd, he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. So he began teaching them many things. By this time it was late in the day, so his disciples came to him. "This is a remote place," they said, "and it's already very late. Send the people away so that they can go to the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered, "You give them something to eat." And they said to him, "That would take 8 months of a man's wages. Are we to go and spend that much on bread and give it to them to eat?" "How many loaves do you have?" he asked. "Go and see." When they found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then Jesus directed them to have all the people sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups of hundreds and fifties. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke the loaves. Then he gave them to his disciples to set before the people. He also divided up the 2 fish among them all. And they all ate and were satisfied. And the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces of bread and fish. The number of the men who had eaten was 5,000. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If we take look back at important milestones in our lives, special days that is, we see that they are usually celebrated with food. When Jennifer and I got married, we had a catered lunch at our reception. When the kids were baptized, there was lunch at our house across the street from the church for any members that wanted to come over. At their graduation, we had a big party for each of the kids on our back deck with lots of food and drinks. We just seem to do that on these happy occasions. But it's not always just the fun ones, but also occasions of great sadness. At funerals, food is a way for people to express love to those remaining family members. Food and feasting is an appropriate way of marking these special times in our lives. We have a feast this morning in our gospel reading, although it was rather unexpected. 5 loaves, 2 fish, and Jesus feeds 5,000 people in the desert. 5 loaves and 2 fish. It was nothing compared to the banquet feast that Herod was holding in last week's gospel reading. It was there that John the Baptist was killed by Herod in the midst of what looked to be quite a Roman pagan style celebration. By contrast, the Lord's feast here in the desert did not result in the death of anyone. It was a true celebration rather than the empty party like Herod's. It was a foretaste of the feast to come, one that the disciples just did not quite understand yet. They had just returned from their preaching missions of healing and casting out demons. They gave their report to Jesus, and our Lord invites them to come away and enjoy a little rest and relaxation. Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. The plan was to sail across the lake and to rest, but the crowds were not having it. Somehow they figured out where the men were going, and they ran ahead of them. And when they arrived, the crowd was waiting. When Jesus went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. Compassion is the theme. This reading is an outstanding example of divine compassion. Opposition to Jesus' ministry has been growing by the day. He is still dealing with the backdrop of John's death, and yet Jesus feels compassion for the crowd. The grace and mercy of our Lord kicks into action. Jesus is never too busy, too distracted, too tired to take care of us, for he feels compassion for us in the depths of his very soul. But this is not Jesus just standing there and saying, "I feel your pain." The very one who will die for these sheep now takes steps to relieve their distress. Compassion is defined like this: sympathy moved into action in order to relieve the person from their distresses or suffering. And what compassion does Jesus give? He begins shepherding the people. Herod certainly was not shepherding the people of Israel. Look at what he did to God's prophet John, having him beheaded just to save his lousy reputation. The scribes, Pharisees, Sadducees were not shepherding the people either. These so-called shepherds of Israel left the flock to the predators of sin, despair, and false hope. They provided no teaching of holy truths to give comfort to the people's hearts and minds, no participation in the divine things to strengthen their faith. The crowd was a flock of wandering sheep, easy prey for the devil, the world, and their own sinful natures. No wonder Jesus had compassion for them. So Jesus shepherds them. He begins to teach them many things, Mark records. Jesus stands before the people, and in a human voice with common words, God speaks peace and deliverance into the people's lives. In this moment, he shows that only through flesh and blood of Jesus do we have access to God. It's so easy to fall into the trap of thinking that Jesus is, you know, somewhere out there ruling all things from far away, and perhaps maybe there is some truth to that. But in order to access God's grace and mercy, you must go through Jesus' humanity given to us in tangible things. The means of grace, we call them. His word, baptism, absolution, Holy Communion. God in Jesus is present with us through common, ordinary things, covering us with his compassion. Now, for the disciples, this is all well and good, but it's getting late. People are hungry. Send them away, the 12 tell Jesus. Maybe they can find food somewhere else. Now, practically speaking, this is probably what most people would say. But remember, to Jesus, this is a flock of sheep without a shepherd, and he has now taken responsibility for shepherding them. And the 12 basically say, "Scatter the flock, Jesus. Let them fend for themselves." Talk about Jesus and the 12 not being on the same page. They weren't even in the same library. Let them go take care of themselves. That's the word Mark uses, themselves. But Jesus turns it around. "No, you take care of it." And at that moment, the crowd now becomes the responsibility of the 12. And all of the excuses begin to come out. No money, no bread, no place to buy any. On and on and on they go. "How many loaves do you have?" Jesus asks. You can almost picture the scene, the disciples frantically searching through the crowd, trying to find anything at all. 5 loaves and 2 fish. That's it. And with these simple gifts, Jesus' compassion finds its way back into the crowd again. All 5,000 men are fed, and 5 loaves and 2 fish never run out. The people were full long before Jesus stopped giving. It was quite a desert feast. Food is perhaps one of our most basic needs, and Jesus, the eternal Son of God, takes time to satisfy that need of the people. We know that the divine Son of God in human flesh will die on the cross to relieve the effects of sin and its eternal consequences, but maybe we focus so heavily on that aspect, forgiving sins, comforting conflicted consciences, both which are wonderful, by the way, but we forget also that our Lord is concerned with the whole person, both soul and body. This gospel reading reminds us that the Lord's compassion extends over our physical along with our spiritual needs. He is the compassionate Lord of body and soul. Jesus takes care of both in the feeding of these 5,000. After arranging them on green grass in orderly groups, like arranging congregations in a decent order, Jesus takes the bread and fish, looks to heaven, gives thanks, breaks the bread, and gives it to the disciples to hand to the crowd. If that sounds familiar, it should. In a few moments, we will hear something very similar in our communion liturgy and words of institution. Receiving the body and blood of Jesus isn't just a remembrance meal, it is a compassion of Jesus' cross. Held in your hand, touching your tongue, straight to your very soul, the divine feast of his body and blood for your forgiveness, and gives you life and salvation. So many believe that our bodies are just this awful husk that we just can't wait to discard when we can finally be with the Lord. But that's not the case at all. You were created in the image of our loving Heavenly Father. By his providence, he sustains you in this life and promises to raise you bodily on the last day. And on that day, there will be no more desert wandering, nothing but the marriage feast of the Lamb, which has no end. But while we were here, don't worry about there not being enough compassion or love of the Savior. 5 loaves, 2 fish, 5,000 people fed, and 12 baskets of pieces remain. There's always enough, and even more. What matters is Jesus' compassion. So come up here to the rail in a few minutes, to the feast of Jesus' body and blood in the bread and wine. Receive his compassion for both your body and soul. With him, there is always enough to go around. Enough compassion, enough forgiveness, and the enough love of Jesus for every hungry mouth and heart. Amen.